Good morning. Welcome to the Gales Creek Church this morning for our service. And we're joined here.
Why don't you go ahead and open us with prayer?
Okay. Great God, you are to be truly blessed to us and blessing back. God, we want to praise you, Lord, with a building we can come and worship you in. Fellowship of fellow Christian brothers and sisters, the fellowship of unity in you. God, we pray that you're with this service. We pray that you're blessing the women at their women's retreat. Have a safe trip home, please. But God, to you be all the glory and the praise. Amen. Where's the announcements?
They're on the screen.
Oh, on the screen. Look at that. I do it very rarely, right? Prayer meeting this Wednesday, and that's online. It's called GroupMe, and reach out. You'll see more there. Gales Creek Gleaners Food Pantry, Gleaners, this Wednesday's 10:55. Food pantries on 10:30 through 11:30 on Wednesdays. And schedule appointment with Sherry. Men's retreat at Rockaway Beach, March 24th and 26th. See Bill Marble. I don't know who that is. But anyway, please contact me. We're having a nice time. Randy Kroom is going to be our presenter. So that's pretty good.
We need to make sure everybody who is is coming into the church, make sure that the church is locked up after when you leave. We've had several times now recently when somebody's come to the church and found the doors open, ajar, rooms open that should be locked. So if you're in a room, make sure that it's locked up after you when you leave.
Thank you. No.
But we don't want any.
Yeah, it's preventative. Nothing stopped.
So far,
a lack in making sure the doors are closed.
Deuteronomy 6, verses... 6:6. Let's do our call to worship first. Sorry. We're used to Judy leading this stuff.
So
So Psalm 9, verses 1 to 12 to 2 in the message. If you want to stand, feel free to stand. I am thanking you, God, from full heart. I am writing the book on your wonders. I'm whistling, laughing, and jumping for joy. I'm singing your song, my God.
Okay.
And then Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 6, or 4 to 9, sorry, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I gave you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malkuto, Leolam Vayet. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is okay.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to Savior, still our rest. pray. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take him to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes. Spirit divine, open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything calls will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will to see. Open my ears, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children lost to share. Silently now my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Sounding great.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord.
People need
the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need
got me teary-eyed there, I'm sorry.
Good morning, church. God bless you. Thank you. Oh, remember, if you are out there in virtual world, Tithely is a place where you can still give and keep the doors open and keep God's ministry growing.
Amen.
And if you're here, let us together give as He's commanded. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you give us in life, not just finances, but friends, family, work, transportation, safe travel. So many things that aren't financial, but revolve around it. Lord, thank you for money in this world as a tool to use for your kingdom. Amen. and now to the best time. Time we get to be family together and share. I know from us this last week has been, I mean, by Wednesday, it was like Friday night already. It had been a full week at work this last week. And y'all know we've come through some sickness, right? And praise God, all five of us are in one pew on one Sunday. That's my praise. With all the stuff that I've had to kind of fall back to family on, my job has gotten backlogged. So I got a lot of it kind of caught up this week with Sarah feeling better. And it's just been, so pray for me that I can get ahead for once and not just have to be reacting at work all the time, but be proactive. That's my prayer. If y'all could help me with that, just pray that God gives me a little bit of insight on how to get ahead of the game here for the kids I serve. That's my prayer request. Anybody else have a request or a praise they would like to lift up to the family today? Teresa. Ooh. Yes. So Pastor Teresa lifted up a praise that she got to see her son on tour with his band and go backstage and meet all the band, and he's home safely now. And then she's reminding us to continue to pray for Syria and Turkey, very affected by the earthquakes that happened there. And the latest numbers you told me just now were 46,000 lives have been, hopefully, some lost, yes, regrettably, but some found. So, Lord, comfort families. Lord, welcome home those who know you. And prayers for all the relief workers still working to deal with that situation. Bill. You beat me to the punch on that one, Bill. I was going to say, praise that Scott's here. He wasn't feeling too good last Sunday at all. Yeah. I was telling Teresa while the offer was going, better is this one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Because this last week was rough at work, and it's just come here, and you know, you can all see the tears form around my eyes right now, just because I'm coming to my love place. You know, where I need to be. I gotta be in fellowship because the rest of the week gets hard. So I'm glad you're here, Scott. You warm my heart, friend, when you're here. It's that simple. Jeremy. Three praises? Go for it. Prayer for Bruce Willis and his family. I don't know the details on that, but what happened? Oh, just diagnosed with dementia. Okay. So prayer for his family to help, support, and love through that. Okay. So safe travels for your niece, Catherine, and your brother, Jeff, as they're traveling out here. Okay. On Highway 47, a big bad accident about 1 o'clock in the morning on Highway 47. We don't know the details, but prayers for that. Wink, I see your hand. Continued prayer for Dan Kroom as he's possibly going through some last fights with cancer. And lots of prayer for Becky. We know that she needs a lot of support right now, and we can give that to her in the spirit if we're not able to park in the door. So prayers for Becky. She needs lots of support right now to make it through with Dan. Carolyn. My mom is asking for prayer for her BSF, that's Bible Study Fellowship group that she's a part of, and that there's a couple members in the group that are having physical struggles. She doesn't remember exactly what those are, and then some that are just dealing with discouragement and depression right now. And that in the last month, it's been hard to have them all there. Again, that fellowship is so key, is it not? Yeah, and one lost a loved one. That was the one I forgot in what you said. So prayer for one of the grandmas in the group, you said, that just had to go through a custody battle for her grandson and has to be gone from the group to monitor visits from that son's dad. Did I get that right? Okay, so prayers for healing, that the Holy Spirit can be in those hearts during those times. Because I don't know what hurts more than a custody battle. Oh, man. Debbie. Right. No. No. So that was praise. Thank you, God, for stranding me in my own hometown. Okay, I just want to make sure I got that phrase correct. Yeah, exactly. So many things like that, right? We get stranded, it seems like such an inconvenience, and then he gives us perspective and like, yeah, but you're not in downtown Portland. I got this to your attention here, my son, my daughter. Yeah. Yeah. So you're good.
Friday night instead of Sunday morning, would have been when our headache
was gone. Yep. Yes. See if I can go back and get it all for the people that are out there on the internet. Linda's praising God for Medicare coming through for her mom, who's still in rehabilitation in St. Helens. Hopefully she can get to where she can stand so she can come home. And then Debbie was praising God. She got stranded in Forest Grove with a dead battery rather than in Portland. So that could get figured out. And let's see. Oh, and yeah, and for you, it was that your brother-in-law came and fixed your car. Yeah, and then you figured out it was a new battery. Yep, and there was something else that you'd said, Debbie, and it's gone. I'm sorry. Oh, wow. So continued prayer for Debbie's boss, Andy, who's back to work with a number of medications and not able to do full days again yet. But prayer for him to recover and build up strength. Sarah. Prayer for Sarah's coworker Alyssa. We've gone on a journey with her the last couple years here, and her husband Alex. They don't have any children yet. They were hoping, and now it looks like Alyssa may not make it too much longer. So prayer for them, obviously, prayer for their families, and prayer for a decision they have to make on whether to do treatment or whether to say it's time to wait for God's timing. Sarah just said they were waiting on a miracle, and I just want to say she's been a miracle. Everything she's gone through, she has trusted God. She has posted that. In this day and age, that's a miracle right there. So Alyssa has been a miracle while waiting on a miracle, and we're praying for another one. I want to put a praise in there. How many lives has she touched with her posts, and hearts has she changed? That's the miracle. All right. Oh, Lori. So, your son-in-law needs a good job to continue supporting a family of four. I know how that goes. So Lord, bring him. Your son-in-law's name is Spencer. So bring Spencer a job, a good job, to support his family. So thank you, Lord, that they're on the mend. Your nieces are on the mend from all the different ailments. And thank you, God, for stronger immune systems now. Yeah. Definitely. I'll share one more request, and that is we're in the process of trying to get my father-in-law eligible for Medicaid and get help for us. It would just be nice if we could go on a family vacation and have help come in to make sure he's doing what he needs to do. We haven't really had a family vacation in about 2 years because of his increased needs after some strokes. So it'd be really nice to have the opportunity. So please pray that goes well and we can get that support we need. Okay. Yeah, safe trip for the women from the retreat. Returning home, absolutely. Helen, I saw your hand back there. Is that tomorrow, Monday? Next Monday. Okay. So Helen is lifting up her needs for some resolution with the vision problems she's been having with her eye health, and some inflammation around one of the nerves. Is that what I heard correctly? Okay. And then asking for help with a ride 2 Mondays from today. Not tomorrow on President's Day, but the following Monday. So. Okay. All right. Let's go together. Father, Lord, thank you so much for being God. Every time we try, we do anything but get it right and fail again and again. Every one of us created by you, when we try to be you, it's disaster. So thank you for having that role in our lives and the lives of all humanity, whether it's accepted or not. Thank you for your grace that you give us all. And thank you for dying on the cross in the personhood of Jesus Christ, who came, who walked our shoes, who understands our lives, been through the temptations and trials that we face, and still brought us salvation. Thank you for being God, not just in heaven, not just on earth, but also in our hearts. Lord, listen to our hearts combined together today as we lift up many from the congregation here who have health needs, are aware of family members with health needs, have friends with health needs. For those that are absent today because of health needs, Lord, we ask for your peace that passes all understanding for the last stages of cancer. We ask for support for family members to get through it. Lord, we thank you for the glory that is going to be on the other side whenever that time is you've appointed. And for us that are here and in this world, give us peace and strength to support those who will go on. Lord, thank you for healing from respiratory illnesses. Thank you for my whole family being here on one day. Thank you for this church family, that we can come together and be more than just what's in our homes. Lord, forgive us this last week when you brought a situation to us that we needed to treat differently. Forgive us when we got busy and we forgot to pause right then and just say, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you. Lord, help us this next week when those moments come just to be so quick to running to you. Lord, thank you so much for everything you give. You watch over us. You instill good leaders over us. And some that are not, Lord, knock on the doors of their hearts. Bring sanity, bring wisdom. Bring grace, bring mercy, but restore righteousness to this land for your glory and our prosperity. Lift up all those leaders to your throne of grace, Lord. Give them the wisdom and knowledge for such a time as this to lead. And lead in a godly fashion. Amen. All right, we got any kids in the house today?
Happy Kids Church.
Kids worship. See what it says on the screen?
Kids worship.
Kids worship.
What about children?
I don't know. We'll find out in a minute if there's children's church. There might not be today. We'll see.
Well, maybe you'd have to be flexible.
That's right. You'll be flexible. Good job. You know flexible. That word. You know this song. What does that stand for? What does that stand for?
Basic Instruction
Labor. Okay, let's sing about it. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Hey, Mama, let's say a prayer.
I got it.
Well, let's say a prayer to God and thank Him for those basic instructions, shall we?
Sure.
Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for your basic instructions before leaving Earth, that you give them to us to instill into the hearts and minds of your future kingdom, standing up here with us. Lord, open their hearts, their minds to you, your mercy, your grace, and your great love for them. Amen. Very good.
Oh, this is children's church.
Like Teacher Helen's ready.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm so glad that we can take time to pray. And I'm just also grateful because Bill didn't share his praise, I don't think, that they worked on his finger and he's healing now. So I'm grateful because modern medicine has come a long way. Things that would take us out, we're still here. And there's, you know, some things that we just don't know. God has not allowed us to find all the cures for cancer and all of the diseases out there, but he has given us a reasonable portion so that we can extend people's lives, be able to improve their quality of life, right? And so let us remember that. Remember to really be grateful to God for every single day, every moment of the days that we have. It might be tough. It may not always go the way we want it, but thank you, God. Let's be grateful to him for all that he does for us. And I'm so glad to see Brother Scott here today as well. So praise Jesus. So we're going to continue looking at Jesus' most famous sermon, found in Matthew chapter 5. He's already taught the disciples on characteristics that show up in a believer's life, right? That portion of the sermon is called the Beatitudes. So people remember that section a lot about what Jesus says. And then he follows up that lesson with the correction that he's not here to get rid of God's word and God's law. He's actually here to fulfill it. And so for the listener at that time, it's like, wait, what is he saying? What does he mean by that? So then he taught them the true way of keeping the law was none of about that outward appearance, because we get caught up on that because we're human beings. We see with our eyes, right? And so it's real easy to monitor, ooh, you did the bad thing, you did the good thing, you did the bad thing, you did the good thing. And Jesus is like, yeah, no, it's not that. It's not about the outward appearance. It's about what's happening in your heart. If you know God, God is going to change your heart. And because your heart has then been changed, your actions are going to follow. And so today, Jesus continues with more corrections on how to interpret the word of God and how to apply it to daily living. When you read the Bible, when you pray to God, it is not an intellectual exercise. There are many theologians who, you know, talk about, well, what this means and what that means. And God simply wants a relationship with us. He's saying, don't memorize these scriptures because you can recite them. I actually need you to know who I am. Know who I am. And so Jesus talks to the people about how to live daily with God. So the scripture we have is Matthew 5. We're going to start at verse 38. We're going to read from there. I'll be sharing from the Message. I like the way this writer does Jesus' sermon. Here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Is that going to get us anywhere? Here's what I propose, Jesus says. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. And if someone takes an unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. Isn't that something? He says, no more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. And you're familiar with that old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I am challenging that, Jesus says. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer. For then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless. Listen to that. To everyone, regardless. And then he says, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. And then he says this. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You are kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives toward you. Amen to what Jesus said. Amen. I pray, Lord God, help us to do that. It's so easy to be religious, Sister Susie. It's so easy. And Jesus is telling the people, I don't need your religiosity. Stop that. I don't care what denomination you belong to. I don't care how big the size of your congregation is. Are you living for God all day long, every day of the year? Such a fascinating thing he says. Now, as I mentioned at our opening, Jesus is back at it. He's correcting the ideas about holiness and what it takes to be like God and obey his commands. In the examples he uses today, we'll see he demonstrates the lesson by using hyperbole, which is an exaggeration of the topic, right? He's saying, go to these extremes so that he can prove his point. First up is the notion of an eye for an eye. Now, you have to go back. It really is in Scripture. Some people don't realize. No, that's actually what it says in the Levitical law. The original text can be found in Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 through 25. I'll read it for your hearing, because you may be like, I don't think it's there. Yeah, it's actually there. But if there is further injury, this is God instructing Moses, and then Moses tells the people, the punishment must match the injury. A life for a life, an eye for an eye, a tooth, a tooth. You knock out somebody's tooth, you're supposed to give your tooth for it. A hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, a burn for a burn, a wound for a wound, a bruise for a bruise. And now you've heard me say this time and again, context, context, context. So many things go awry with the people of God because we misquote the Bible and we use Scripture out of context. We do it today still, even though we know we should be doing better. But this is what happened with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes at that time. They were teaching out of the text, out of context. And people, you know, even if the preacher says it right, it explains it, they're still going to go off and do their own thing because we're not paying attention. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to really rule in our hearts and in our minds. And so that's what was happening in Jesus' day. The Bible teachers and the people of God were going around making up their own version of what the Scripture actually taught. So I agree. If you just read the words, you are likely to walk away thinking God is condoning a tit-for-tat mentality. But that's actually not what was happening, right? You wrecked my car, so now I get to wreck yours. That's not what God was saying. That's actually not his intention. This is why you have to look at the context. What was he saying before that? What does he say after that? What is the whole conversation? Right? So when someone comes to you and say, oh, Susie, guess what Sister Carolyn said? Give me some more details about that. Because if you just tell me those that one sentence, I could draw a conclusion, couldn't I? But if I'm wise, I'm going to dig a little deeper. I'm going to ask, well, why did she say those things? What was the conversation that would have surrounded those words? Right? So then you can get the true meaning of what was being said. So the intention of God's command was reconciliation and restitution. So go back when, again, it's the simplest way to describe the Ten Commandments, which is really a sum of 60-some plus commandments that God gave to the people of Israel. They were vertical, like the cross. Look at the cross. Vertical and horizontal. This is how you behave with God. This is how you interact with people, with your human beings around you. And so when God tells the people of Israel, this is how you need to conduct yourselves to be like me, I want you to work towards reconciliation. So this is what the context that God is saying, those things. He wants relationships to be healthy and whole. Also, he knew there were going to be fractures in relationships. So when there is a fracture, he expects his people that are called by his name to reconcile. That doesn't mean I get to now badmouth so-and-so because they did me wrong. That can happen in the world, but that's not supposed to happen among the children of God. It's just simply not. You can be in your feelings for a moment and be mad that Pastor Teresa says so, such and such and so-and-so. But then the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you should be like, I need to go talk to Pastor Teresa about that. I don't think she knows the impact that that had on me. And you sit down and you talk with Pastor Teresa. You don't go and tell all your friends in your neighborhood, that new pastor we got, A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. God says, your job, because you're like me, you're going to reconcile. Part of reconciliation sometimes means that we are going to pay back for what was broken. He says, when there's a fracture, he expects his people to reconcile. And so part of that could mean restitution, which means recompense for injury or loss. And recompense is just a fancy word that says when possible a person gets paid for what they lost. How can I make it up to you is essentially what you're saying. I know that didn't land well. What can we do to repair? Those are the words you use. What do we do to repair? So God knew people are imperfect. He knew that we were going to make mistakes and do bad things intentionally. Now, some things we do by mistake. Now, sometimes, Sister Carolyn, we just, you know, we're feeling ourselves and we just gonna go and say the thing that we know we shouldn't be saying or do the thing that we know we shouldn't do. God already knew that. So he instructed his people what to do to overcome their shortcomings. When this happens, this is what you need to do. This is why he says, when X happens, do Y. God is essentially saying, I need you to be neighborly. When you wrong your brother or sister, your sibling in Christ, you need to do the right thing and make amends. That's what the context of that eye for an eye, tooth for tooth was all about. Making amends. You need to make things whole again. Your apology, just saying, oh, I'm sorry. That's not enough. Because some of us can say, I'm sorry, real quick and easy. And then we go right on back to our old patterns and ways of being and doing. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to be like God, if you're going to be my disciple, I need you to do better. You can't just simply apologize. You actually need to change your ways. Seek reconciliation. Now, being the imperfect people that we are, over time, people began to focus on the cost of things, right? And soon forgot the intention. We soon forgot all of the things that God was saying, it's about reconciliation and not about the debt that is owed. But see, our minds, we're just wired because of the fall. We're wired for those things that are negative. And so forgetting the positive of what God said to reconcile, we focus on the debt part. We focus on, how do I get even part? How do I make Susie pay for what she did? Focusing on the debt is what led people down the slippery slope of getting even and exacting revenge on others rather than choosing God's way, which is restoration and forgiveness. See, and all right there, based on the word of God that they read, it says eye for an eye. Yeah, but did you read the rest of the text? God is telling you to reconcile, to seek forgiveness, not let's go get this person because they did us wrong. So the religious leaders, on the other hand, were condoning people to treat others as they had been treated. And no, that's not what God taught you. It's not what he said. Just like last week, Jesus gives his disciples a remedy. He just doesn't say, these are the bad things. Sucks to be you. No. He says, yeah, these are the things that are not working out. But guess what? God already has a fix for that. He has a way for that. He has a different way that you can now be because you are like him. So this is why Jesus says, I'm not here to just point out error. I'm here to give you examples of how to overcome the challenge, how to overcome the enemy of your soul. And I'm going to show you a different way of being. So he says, instead of exacting revenge, when a person mistreats you, catch them off guard by responding to them with love. Have you ever had that happen to you? Unexpected grace and love? When you were all, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And you go and you're just ready. And they're like, oh, hi. You know, I was thinking about our interaction that we had last week. And then they're just so calm and collected. And you're just like, oh, snap. I was ready to give them all my, oh, okay, well, next, shut that down. Or maybe you've turned the table. Maybe you've done that to someone. You get them with your kindness. Surprise them. Because so many of us, we're ready. We're ready for revenge. We're ready to say those words. We've written down our script. This is what we're going to say. I'm prepared for this argument. Jesus says, yeah, don't do all that. Catch them off guard. Respond to them with love. Seek reconciliation. And then that's when he gives these extreme examples. He says, offer the other cheek. And people are like, what in the world is he saying right now? Offer the other cheek. Give extra clothing when they sue you. If they sue you for your shirt, offer your coat. Oh, you want my coat too? They're all looking at Jesus like, he's gone mad. He's gone mad. And then he says to them, go an extra mile. And when that Roman soldier asked you to carry his stuff for 1 mile. It actually wasn't uncommon back then for the Roman soldiers to do that. They would just interrupt this poor Jewish person. Hey, you over there. I got my whole garrison and we need some help. So you and you come carry this stuff for us. What? Yep. They could demand you to do it. And you better hop too. So Jesus says, if that should happen to you, don't you put your hands on your hips and tell them a thing or two. Oh, okay. I'd be glad to. Did you need this to go all the way to Jerusalem, or did you just need half a mile? Because guess what? It's going to catch them off guard. Because they're expecting you to turn around and be nasty, so then they can be nastier, and then we can just keep going back and forth. Jesus says, yeah, don't take the bait. Don't even do it. These examples are over the top for the audience, because they're like, I don't know if I can do that. Yet Jesus uses them to say, no more tit for tat. Stop doing that. Live, listen to his words, live generously. Those who name the name of Christ do not do the bare minimum to appear righteous. He says, if you believe in me, don't do the bare minimum. Hi to those who are nice to you. I need you to do extra. That's how you win non-believers over. That's how you win weaker believers, and you help grow them up. I love that the message interprets it that way. That says, grow up. You are no longer kids. You've walked and talked with God long enough to know better and to do better. So do it, Jesus says. Do it. Don't do the bare minimum to appear righteous. Those who love Jesus and love God, you're going to love others. You're going to sacrifice your right to comfort for the sake of others. Why? So that they can experience God's relentless and abundant love. Some people are not going to know who Jesus is except for their interaction with you. And this is why I love the testimony of your coworker, Sarah Alyssa. This is why we do that. Because you don't know how many lives you're impacting for the kingdom. Stop worrying about, well, I have a right and they didn't hear my perspective. Stop that. There'll be a place and time where that will happen. Not right here, not right now. How are you showing up in that space to be like Jesus would have you to be? God has relentless love. He has abundant love, and people need to know that. The second abused teaching is that of loving others. Again, it's back in the Old Testament. It's nothing new that Jesus is saying. God told the people of Israel, Leviticus 19:18, how to treat others. Remember, the Ten Commands are all about how you love God, how you love people. And so he says in Leviticus 19, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. Why? I am the Lord. Now, I can understand why people got the other command confused. I mean, you know, if you leave out a few words and just focus on the get even part, you're going to satisfy yourself with the getting even part, right? I'm going to go for your tooth. I'm going to go for your calf. I'm going to go for your house, whatever it is. But now, how in the world, I just don't understand this part. How in the world did people arrive at the treat people as they've treated you? Because that's clearly not what the scripture says. It doesn't say that there. It says love your neighbor as yourself because of who God is. Especially since the previous sentence forbids us from seeking revenge. So it's like, wait, what is happening right now? Why are you all trying to seek revenge when the word of God simply says, love your neighbor as yourself? Now, maybe, it's because of the definition of neighbor, right? Because specifically in Leviticus, it says, it calls out other Israelites. And for us, that would mean other believers, fellow Christians. That's who's our neighbor. Jesus is like rolling his eyes. Okay, newsflash. Again, read the rest of scripture. Don't know where you've been. There's tons of scripture about how to take care of the widows, the orphans, the foreigners in your land, the poor people among you. There's a list of how to behave with others. So are you just going to say, well, because they're not Christian, I don't have to worry about that, and I can still get my eye for an eye? Just like, no, nope, and nope. So he has to expand their idea of who is your neighbor. It's not just a fellow believer. It's everybody in the rest of the world. So he says to them, and he says to us, you can't love only the people who are nice to you. You actually have to love all people. A-L-L, all people, no matter how they treat you. And I know some of us who wear pearls are like, what? You mean those people at work who are always talking about me behind my back? Yep, them too. You mean that one person over here really gets on my nerves? Yep, especially them. But why, Jesus? Because that's how God is with you. That's how God is with me. That's how God is with all of us. He doesn't only treat us well when we are obedient. Praise Jesus for that. Now, I don't know if y'all can say amen, but I know I'm going to say amen. Because, really? If he only gave me good things when I was acting good, sister, probably wouldn't be here today. Probably wouldn't have made it past 18. Okay? Just saying. This is why he says, no, you don't get to do that. Because the God you serve, he loves every single last person on the planet. Whoever ever was and whoever will be loves all of them. He doesn't treat us well when we're obedient. He treats us well even when we are not. Listen to the word again. Verse 45 says this. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. That's who God is. So Jesus challenges the audience's notion of righteousness by pointing out if they only love those who love them and treat them nicely, they're no more righteous than the pagans, the non-believers, those who don't profess the name of Christ. For even they can do that. The word says, if all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? You want me to pat you on the back for that? Jesus is saying, please. People who don't even believe in God do that part. Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, you expect a medal? Yeah, some of us, we need to see our little name on nameplates. I did this good thing, and I did that good thing. Jesus is like, please, 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 please. You may impress the people around you, but no, you are not impressing God. What is in your heart? So lastly, Jesus closes the argument of righteousness by following in the footsteps of his Father, and he repeats what God has already taught the people. If you are a believer, then you must emulate God. Your kingdom subjects, he says, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. It's powerful. Since Jesus gave us good examples on how to interpret God's word and how to emulate God, why is it so hard to put those teachings into practice? Brent Kercheval, he's a pastor at West Palm Beach in Florida. He says it's because in our hearts, we don't believe others deserve it. Mm-hmm. That's why we act the way we do, because we really don't believe that the other people around us deserve it. We make excuses and try to explain away why we shouldn't have to be loving to that unlovable person and to be forgiving to that unforgivable person. We say in our hearts, well, Jesus just doesn't understand. He doesn't have to put up with Sister Sarah like I do. He doesn't live with my spouse. I do. He doesn't have to work with so-and-so. And here's what Pastor Brent says. He says this, this is a quote. We have to get rid of this lens that makes decisions on the basis on whether someone deserves it or not. We try to decide if someone deserves our love. I'm not going to love my spouse. They don't deserve it. I'm not going to be loving to my parents. They don't deserve it. I'm not going to love my neighbor. They don't deserve it. I'm not going to love those people at church. They don't deserve it. I'm not going to love my boss or coworkers. They certainly don't deserve it. Listen to what he says. We must get rid of the filter in our hearts that determines who we will love based on what they do for us. Somebody ought to say amen. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we're doing right now in the United States of America. Well, I mean, you all don't deserve that. Really? Is that God speaking, or is that you in your selfish ways speaking? It's a call to our attention. And again, you know, if you're not a believer, these words can go in your ear and out the other. But for those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, you better pay attention. Because this is what Jesus is expecting of us. This is why God sent Jesus. Jesus modeled for us how we can be like God. God loved us so much that he gave his son for us. His son Jesus loved us so much that he gave his very life for us. Not for some of us. Not for his favorites or those he thought might believe in him. He died for every single last one of us. All of us. His love for us should motivate us to be changed from the inside out. Following Jesus means we give our hearts to him so he can change it to be like God's heart. Because our actions begin in our hearts, we will live holy and be holy because of the work Jesus has done and continues to do by turning our hearts towards God day after day. Jesus is calling us to not play favorites. We can only be holy like God when we love him and love others just as he loves us. This is the different way of being. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Thank you for making it plain. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts and gives us understanding of your holy word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in us and empowers us to live out your holy word. My God, my prayer is for all of us who name the name of Christ that we take heed to the words that you spoke thousands of years ago. Stop looking at tit for tat, eye for eye. Stop looking to get revenge. Stop looking, as Pastor Brent said, of they don't deserve it, but to love others, to seek reconciliation, to shine our lights, to be salt, all for your glory, so we can build your kingdom as you have designed and called us to do. We thank you, God, for it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In your holy name we pray it. Amen. All right, let's have our closing song, and then I'll return for our benediction.
I'm going to teach you a new call and response. I'm going to sing it through once myself, and then I'm going to do the call and response. If I'm doing it, it's, and this will be if you're doing response, and this means we're doing it unison. So
the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be gracious unto you. the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
So then,
the Lord bless you.
And keep you.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up.
His countenance,
upon you and give you peace.
I'd like to try it one more time because I think we were just really getting the hang of this. So,
the Lord bless you.
Bless you
and keep you,
and keep you.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up.
His countenance,
upon you and give you peace.
Amen. I feel peace.
That's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful benediction. May the Lord shine his countenance upon you and give you peace. I want to pray real quickly as we depart. Again, will you depart from this place, but not from his spirit? Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for burning it in our hearts, for lighting that flame. I pray that this week, my dear brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ will go with you, knowing that you are with them to empower them to be salt and light, to empower them to seek reconciliation instead of revenge. Help us, Lord God, to do that. Forgive us when we have fallen short, Lord, and we say in our mind, in the back of our hearts, they don't deserve it. Help us, Lord, to grow in that area, to give, to love, just as you have given to us, just as you have loved us. We thank you, God. Be with us now until we meet again. May your peace reign in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Go, my brothers, go, my sisters, my siblings in Christ. God is with you.